we're looking at three different words, three things that that Jesus accomplished on the cross. In years past, we've looked at the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. We looked at sections of Isaiah 53, different things. So we'll be considering these three words. The first word is expiation. From 1 John 3, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Expiation has to do with the removal of our sin. The only living and true God is present everywhere. He knows all, sees all. There's no hiding our sin from him. Scripture clearly declares that the penalty or the wages of sin is death. So God in his absolute holiness cannot sweep our sin under the rug and say, oh, that's okay, maybe you'll do better next time. We'll just forget it this time. He can't do that. He's righteous. He's holy. He's just. No, sin is odious. It's like a stench in his nostrils. Our customary view of sin is far too light compared to God's view. We're too easy to make excuses for it. Too easy on ourselves to pass appropriate judgment on it for ourselves. We're very reluctant to view it as God does. I doubt that we're even capable. I don't doubt it. I'm certain that we're even capable of viewing it as God does, because he is essentially holy and we are not. So who's going to remove my sin and pay its debt? Not another sinner. He's guilty too before God. He can die perhaps for his own sin, but he certainly can't die for mine. Hymn writer Robert Lowry asks this same question and offers an answer. We used to sing this all the time on Sunday nights at my home church. This is familiar. It's actually in our hymnal, but we never use it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Expiation is only part of what Jesus accomplished in his death on the cross, but it's an essential part. Now, other aspects we'll be looking at in the other meditations. But unless our sin is removed, we cannot come to God. It stands as a grand barrier between us. Remember Reagan's famous quote at the Brandenburg Gate, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Remember that? It'll stand in history as a bold and necessary move for peace and freedom. Well, the difficulty for us is that wall stands between us and God, the wall of our sin. So while encumbered with the load of our sin, there's no peace, there's no freedom for us between us and God. So our Heavenly Father says to Jesus, "Jesus, tear down that wall. Go remove sin from those that I have chosen." John Bunyan, in Pilgrim's Progress, describes this in a wonderful way. Bunyan says, "Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty, because the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble and continued to do so until it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more." That's expiation. The Lord gave a great picture of expiation also in the law concerning the Day of Atonement. We read in Leviticus 16, he shall bring forward the live goat. And he is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall then send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. The man who releases the goat as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterward, he may come into the camp. So sin is confessed symbolically over this goat, transferred onto the goat, and the goat bears it away to a place outside the camp. Jesus came and took our sin to himself, carries it away from us as far as the east is from the west, we are told, not just outside the camp, but to oblivion. When we were kids in youth groups and things like that, we used to sing this song. I would bet Joanne remembers it. Don't know if anyone else would. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Now I'll live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Do you have trouble believing that? Do your sins still plague you? Do you believe God still has a record of them and he's holding those things against you? Then embrace the truth of Christ's cross. There, by torture, blood, and death, your sins were expiated, taken away forever. In ancient Israel, if you wanted to get rid of something, for instance, if you were repenting of worshiping a certain idol, for instance, the thing to do was to get rid of it in such a way that it could not be retrieved. And what became a regular, maybe not regular, but something they would do. They would take it down to the Dead Sea, and they would throw it in. Now, if you don't know your geography very well and statistics, the Dead Sea is 33% salt. You can't plunge its depth because you can't sink. You jump in, you float. You can walk around in it, but you don't want to get your face in it. It burns the daylights out of your eyes, out of your lips, and everything else. It's a nasty place. So if you want to get rid of something that was really bothering you, heave it in there because nobody could ever get down to it and retrieve it. Besides that, you get out in the middle, it's 1,000 feet deep. That's a pretty good way to get rid of things. Well, that's a pittance compared to what Jesus does with our sin. He takes them away. So even the Dead Sea can stand as a picture of expiation, but it still falls short. By faith in Christ, they really are gone. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 242, Not All the Blood of Beasts.